All right, we're looking at Romans chapter 1. And he says here in verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how? The just shall live by faith." There's a couple of things here that you might want to see. And that is that God expects us to live by faith. And the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? There's a lot of sin going around out here somewhere. And it says here, the righteous or the righteous ones, that's what just means, the righteous ones shall live by faith. And this righteousness, we said, has a lot to do with your faith. Because a lot of people, we said, are trying to work up faith. If they'll just develop righteousness, faith will flow automatically. But this, it says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So you are created to live by faith. Say, I'm created to live by faith. And this faith is the way that you are to function. In other words, if you're not functioning by faith, you're malfunctioning. So we've been created in the image and likeness of God. The way God operates, we are to operate as well. So God established faith as the only system through which men and women could touch his power. Faith is. If you don't have faith, you can't touch it. And living by faith requires something. This is kind of where we left off last time. It requires that you put your soul under the control of your spirit. Now, you and I are three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. How many of you know that? Okay. So in spirit, soul, and body is what you see here. Spirit is what's on the inside. And the soul is what connects the two. But the soul consists of your mind, will, emotions, intellect, and imagination. Your soul. But in that soul area is the mind which was designed to come under the control of your spirit. Your spirit was supposed to lead the way. Let's look here at Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 23, chapter 20, 20. 2:0. All right, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Well, I'm going to show you how this works as kind of a performance of faith or the way faith operates, operation of faith. So the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. Another translation says, it's the lamp of the Lord. So God enlightens your spirit. If you can just imagine having a match or a bigger candle, and that bigger candle is going to light this small candle. God lights your candle. Your candle is what you need to guide you because you're in a dark world. So I got to get around in this world. Now, I can't see it because I'm thinking the sun's out, so it's all light. But that's not true. Darkness has to do with people's absence of revelation knowledge, absence of God's light revealed to them. So the only thing they can function with is intellect. And intellect is dark knowledge without the lighting of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Nobody through their intellect can get to know God. Matter of fact, most of them that get highly intellectual say there is no God, or that he's some kind of big mind somewhere. So the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now this search is something that goes on when we need knowledge of something that we can take the word and place the word in the soil of our hearts. Now, I'm kind of going on a side trip here, but bear with me. In the soil of our hearts, and that seed makes a demand on the soil. The soil being the spirit, the word being the seed. So I want to know something. So that word makes a demand on the soil, or the soil places demand on the word, whichever way it goes, which then searches the avenues of God for the answer. Because you and the Lord are one spirit. All this is scripture. So there's nothing that you can be deceived in that you cannot find out the answer from God. Glory to God. Let me just refer to a scripture with that. And that's found in Daniel. This is just a side trip now. Daniel chapter 2. So now Nebuchadnezzar wants to know what a dream means or what he did dream. He asks some of the magicians and sorcerers and soothsayers of that day, hey, what does this mean? And they couldn't tell him. Said, tell me what you dreamed and we'll tell you what it meant. He said, I don't know what I dreamt. I can't remember what I dreamt. But you tell me what I dreamt and tell me what it means. They said, well, we can't tell you. Well, I'm going to cut your head off. You just better tell me what I dreamed. Well, that kind of pressure, anybody who knew would probably tell him what he dreamed. But they couldn't. Because that wisdom was beyond them. So the world is limited in their wisdom. But now, look at here, verse 14 of chapter 2. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Ananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are whose? His. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me what? Wisdom and might, and has made known unto, why can't I read that word? That word is really scratched out. What we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known to us the king's matter. So who made known unto them that? God did. God did. God made known unto them that. So that was wisdom beyond the world. That was wisdom beyond the world. But he said it by faith. He said, just give me a minute and I'll tell you what you dream. Because faith connects you with God. Just give me a minute. I can tell you what you dream. And he didn't say, I sure hope God can give me praise God. You know, King, if it's the Lord's will. Now, I'm saying this is religion now. I'm going to talk about religion in a minute. And part that it's tried to play in the church to keep the church marching behind the world. Let's go to another place. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Amen. All right. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. Glory to God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdom. Keep going. Righteousness. Keep going. And sanctification. And redemption. My goodness. Now let's keep going here, because over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, verse 14, for the natural man, Lord have mercy. I don't want to go this far into this. This thing just keeps unfolding here. I didn't want to show you but one or two scriptures on this. You have the mind of Christ. All right, let's go over to Revelation chapter 5 and give you that right quick. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, how do I access these things? By faith, folks. Faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing what? Word of God. So as I told you in the Word of God that you can be able to access things that other people can't access and get wisdom that other folks don't have, then faith should be coming. Wow. So when you're in a jam next time, you won't say, what are we going to do now? You won't say that. You won't say, hey, praise God. I'm going to go to bed tonight. God's going to give me this thing in the morning. Look what it says here in verse 11. And I beheld and I heard of the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts of the elder and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, 1,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, keep going, and riches, keep going, and what? Wisdom. Wisdom and strength and all that. So it's going to be according to your faith. It's going to be according to your faith. Look what happened. I'm trying to get you to appreciate the fact that you live by faith and you can't please God without faith, and that faith is not some byproduct of something. Faith is a main way that we are to function in this earth. Look what it says. Come on over with me to Joshua. And Joshua chapter, pardon me for not having this already for you, but I know it. And I'm going to give it to you. Joshua chapter 14, please. Joshua chapter 14. Hallelujah. Let me know when you get there. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Now, this is when they're in, and God has got Joshua now taking the land of Canaan. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came into Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Put something right there. put something right there. And let's go to Numbers chapter 14, but hold something right at the place where I showed you. I'm going to flip right back. Now, this is studying. The Bible says, study and show yourself approved. Watch when you come out of here how much more faith you're going to have. And sometimes you just got to stop just reading, but you got to study. Amen. Look what it said in Numbers chapter 14. Now, this is a time when they, of course, were coming against Joshua and Caleb, because Joshua and Caleb had a good report and all the people didn't like it. And they were about to stone them, and God protected them. Look what it says here in verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now how many times? 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Watch this. But my servant who? Caleb. Because he has what kind of spirit? He has another spirit with him and has followed me what? Fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, notice what he said. Caleb. Only Caleb and Joshua going in there. Come back over here again to Joshua chapter 14. Look what it says here in Moses in verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these how many years? 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day how many years old? 85 years old. How old is that? 85. As yet, I am as what? Strong. What day? This day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Whoa, wait a minute. How long was that ago when Moses sent it? All right, well, 45 years. Okay, 45 years, whatever it adds up to be. My point to you is, what happened to his strength? No, come on. What happened to his strength? He didn't lose his strength. He was as strong that day as he was back there 40-something years ago that day. Am I right? Am I right? Now, this strength, watch, let me read verse 11 again. And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength what? Now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Wow. All right. Now, he had another spirit. What spirit was that? What spirit do you think we're talking about up here on Wednesday nights? A spirit of faith. Now, wait a minute. Let's see that spirit of faith, because it's all through the Bible. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Let me know when you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, keep going, I believe, keep going, and therefore have I spoken. Keep going. And we also believe, keep going, and therefore we speak. That's what Caleb had. He had the spirit of faith. Now come on over to Revelation, and Revelation chapter 5 again. Revelation chapter 5. Now, Jesus died on the cross for you and I at Calvary. He served and paid the price for our sins. Then he rose again. but he rose again to receive his inheritance. And what he was inheriting were these things that you read here in verse 12. To receive power, keep going, and riches, verse 12, and wisdom, keep going, and strength. All right, stop at strength. Because he received strength, and now, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 17, we are joint heirs with Jesus. So whatever he received, keep going, keep going, keep going, we receive. So we receive strength. Now, this, what I'm saying, is our bodies are not supposed to be deteriorating like this. There is a distinction between us and the world. At 85, he was like a man of 40. That's why they could live as long as they did, because they had the spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith does nothing but say what God says. I don't care how it looks. It only says what God said. You can be in the worst situation in your life. Now what are you going to do? Say what God said. Because the more you say it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you say it. The more you say it, the more you believe it. The more you believe it, the more you say it. Now, God's word is quick and powerful. Say amen to that. That God's word is powerful enough to preserve your body. It's powerful enough. Let's go to a place. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. I am not ashamed of the what? Gospel, the good news. The good news is what God said. I don't care how you look. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what's going on. You've got to speak what God says. Because that pleases God, and God can come in on your behalf and work the miracles that he's going to work. How long did Caleb have to speak this after they had gone to the land of Canaan? Well, I'm not sure, but he had to speak it for a while. Because notice, God didn't take Caleb and Joshua out of the group and just take them over there. Those people died. They had to die off. But Joshua and Caleb had to maintain their confession. They couldn't get around those people and allow those people to contaminate their speech. And you have got to stop trying to impress or not be criticized by speaking like God. There is no goner in God. God is not gonna do something for you. Whatever God is gonna do for you, he has already done. You've got to start calling things that religious people added the future to God's word. They added the future. They put all them songs out there, please don't pass me by. God, he not passing you by. He's in you. Say amen to that. And I'm saying that these songs and all this stuff has, you know, yeah. Hear my humble cry. Well, that sounds good, but God said, this is a confidence that we have in him. that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That eliminated that whole song right there. That eliminated the whole song. But if we moved by our flesh and our emotions, then it will dictate or control our spirit. And what God has for us, now the spirit can't lead us to. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Living by faith requires that you put your soul under the control of your spirit. Well, how are you doing, my friend? Oh, now here comes an organ recital. Oh, my head hurt. Oh, my tooth hurt. Organ. No. I'm blessed. Now you say, well, what do you do about that? I mean, how do you get, you better find some other way to do it, because you're going to have to train your flesh to come under your spirit and stay there. I saw how I got here. I got here because my spirit was connected to God. I said, God, I don't have but $200. Like he didn't know that. Say amen to that. But I'm led by the Spirit, because the Spirit knew where my destiny was. Say amen to this. And the way you develop that human spirit is you got to start agreeing with God. Just start agreeing with God. Every time you do it, makes your spirit stronger. God says you're not poor. He said, let the poor say, I'm rich. He said, let the weak say, I'm strong. But he said that. And I'm telling you, people have backed off this stuff. Why? Ashamed of it. Trying to be popular with people, trying to get everybody to accept you. Meanwhile, the world is going to hell. And you hang around folk long enough, you'll start talking like them. You go down south and stay down south long enough, pretty soon you'll be saying, wow, you know, I'm fitting to go. You know, you just stay down there long enough. All right. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead, what? Shall do what? Shall also what? Quicken, make alive, restore life to your what? Mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Lord have mercy. Ooh-wee. All right, let me tell you what I'm taking you now. All right, let's wait a minute. Let's do another one. And this is one we covered on Sundays, but let's come back to it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 47. You know, when things get tough, the tough got to get going. You got to say what he says, you know. You got to just put pressure on that covenant. You're not putting pressure on God, because he knows what he can do. You put pressure on that covenant, brother, you just lay on that thing. And I'm telling you, man, this situation I'm going through, I'm learning. I can't feel bad, because that ain't going to help me. Well, I feel so bad about that. No, that's not going to help me. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying don't think the enemy's just going to let you take over everything and not give you a fight. But you're going to fight the good fight of faith, and you're going to win. And I'm going to make you strong in here, so you're going to win every time. The Bible says Satan has deceived the whole world. and the whole world's under control of the evil one, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. So look what it says here. This is Abram. I'm almost done. Abraham, and he goes down. Pardon me. This is Jacob. And now Joseph is down to Egypt, and Joseph has absolutely taken over. And now he's got his family coming down, his father Jacob and the rest of all the people. Verse 6. And don't think that Jacob was traveling alone. Like him, maybe his wife or somebody and a mule. Don't get that out of your mind. Okay? I'm gonna show you this. Look here at Genesis chapter 14, real quick. Genesis 14. You know, see, I'm telling you, boy, religion tried to do a job in the church. Look what it says in Genesis 14, and look at verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained what? Servants. Born where? In his own house. How many of them were there? 318. Now, if they're born in his own house, that means the mother and daddy was in there too somewhere. So there's quite a few people in there. All right, let's go on over here. And let's go on over to Genesis chapter 24. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master, how? Greatly. And he has become great, and he has given him what? Flocks, keep going, herds, keep going, silver and gold and men servants and maid servants, come on, camels and asses. Now that's a bunch of stuff, isn't it? Am I right? Coming over here to Genesis chapter 26. Let me know when you get there. Now, how did he bless Abraham? Greatly. Say greatly. Greatly. Look at chapter 26 and verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord did what to him? He blessed him. And the man waxed great. He went forward and grew, keep going, till he became how great? Very great. How great was Abraham? He's great. How great was Isaac? Very great. So here's Isaac now having much more than his daddy had. And every generation was supposed to increase. Same thing should happen today. Look what it goes on now. I'm not done yet. Let's go on over to Genesis chapter 32. And this is Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, look what it says here. Verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return to thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan. In other words, I left home with only a stick because my brother ran me out of there. Because I stole the blessing from him. And now I'm become what? Two bands. And so you look up translation, it says two armies. He's become two big armies. Watch this, verse 13. And he lodged there in the same night, and he took that which came to his hand, a present for Esau, his brother. Now he's going to send Esau a present because Esau's going to kill him. So he's trying to make amends with his brother so his brother will get off his back. His brother's tracing him and tracking him all through the countries because you're going to kill him. So he said, let me break brother off a little bit. Y'all know what I mean by that? Look at verse 14. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes. Ewes are adult female sheep. And 20 rams, 30 milk camels, those milk camels, with their coats. Coats are small camels. 40 kine, those are types of cows, 10 bulls, 20 she asses, female donkeys, and 10 fowls, male donkeys. Now, this was a gift to Esau that was 580 livestock. Now, it wasn't the tithe because the tithe had to go to his father. So the thinking is that it was the tithe of the tithe. So the tithe that went back to his dad, see, he had to go back to his home because he had to give dad his tithe. His tithe was 5,800 livestock. 5,800 livestock. That was a tithe. So how big was his flock? If 5,800 was the tithe, how big was the flock? Big. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying each time it got more and more. I mean, one man said he needed a state as big as Michigan to handle all this. These brothers was loaded. Now come on back to Genesis chapter 47. Let me see, can I finish this up? Now what am I doing? I'm breaking it down because I want to perfect your faith. I want you to have something to stand on to anchor your soul in so that you'll know, wait a minute, this is what this says. This is just not a lot of fun reading here, a bedtime story. This is the way I'm supposed to live. Because the same way God blessed Abraham, I am his seed. All right? So look what he says in verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, you know, when anybody asks you that, they want to know something. There's something they're putting together in their mind. Are you following what I'm saying? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Few and evil. Few, underline it. Few, not long. Few. And have not attained unto the days and the years and the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Abraham, as you know, lived 175 years. Isaac, as you know, lived 160 years. He is only 130. Now, what happened to him? Come on back over here to Genesis chapter 37, please. What happened to him? They brought the coat in. They brought this coat. And once they brought this coat of his son, look what happened. Verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has what? Devoured him. Now, wait a minute. Who said that? Got it? Now, I'm saying he didn't get that from God. What did he look at? He looked at the natural situation and said that. I wrote something down here. Everything that makes your case seems naturally impossible is actually a deception of the devil. That is one of the most powerful statements. Everything that makes your case seem naturally impossible is actually a deception of the devil. Watch, I want to read 33 again, one more time. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. And Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Watch this next statement. And Jacob rent his clothes, put on sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his sons, how many days? Many days. Watch what he says. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, here it comes, for I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So what did he say he's going to do? He said he was going to mourn until he left here. Question, is that the spirit of faith?
No.
Nope, he left his faith. He left his faith. And when he left his faith, he thought the beast had gotten his son. Watch this. Had the beast gotten him?
No.
Nope. Was Joseph alive?
Yes.
How could he have found out? Could ask God. How else could we find out? Ask God. Check his word. Check his word. Because according to the covenant, the devil cannot kill your kids. This covenant is for you and your seed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you can get this covenant. And when the devil ended up killing somebody in that Bible, they had faith and said, come to my house. That this boy here is my daughter is sick. And he got there and she was dead. And what did Jesus say? Hey, just be of good cheer. Told the people who was moaning, he said, she's not dead, she just what? Sleep. A spirit of faith. He believed, and therefore had he spoken. So even if Joseph had died, he could have brought him back. Didn't they bring him back when Elisha laid on the son that died, brought him back? Come on now. I'm saying when even the man who was sick or dead, they threw him in a hole and he fell on Elijah's bones and the bones brought life back to him. The man got up and walked out of that grave. I'm saying even when the devil tried to put sickness on your kids, watch this. He has no covenant right to do it. If they are out on drugs, you still have some dominion that you can, Lord have mercy. Folks, this is the answer to a mother staying up all night worrying about their kids. Glory to God. You go in this scripture, Lord have mercy, I ain't got that time. This, come on over to Luke chapter 13. This is coming over there. I don't finish there. All right, let me give you the point that I want to make here. The point that I want to make is that faith requires you to put your soul under the control of your spirit. And your soul governs your emotions, your will, and your mind. And when your soul slips out from under the rulership of your spirit, you're subject to get in sin because you're subject to get out of faith. And whatever is not of faith, come on, is sin. Now, your soul may say, I'm unhappy. But your spirit can decree the will of God and bring happiness, come on, into your life. Now, when you are out from under the control of your soul, I call it under the influence. Because now you're like a person who drunk too much. Not you. I'm talking about drinking the word. I ain't talking about no liquor. But when a person drunk too much, first of all, you can't embarrass them. You try to embarrass them. Say, man, look at you. Don't you making a fool out of yourself. I ain't making no fool out. I mean, am I right about it? When you're under the influence of the word of God and your soul is no longer dictating to you what people think about you, and you're walking by faith and not by sight, nobody can embarrass you. That man sitting down there and he cried out to Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David. And the people tried to shut him up. Shut up, man. You know who this is? He said, who is it? It's Jesus. Jesus, praise God, Jesus. You couldn't embarrass him. You couldn't embarrass a woman who had the issue of blood. You couldn't embarrass him. Why? Because faith sees the end. Faith sees something gonna happen even if nobody around you see it. I'm telling you, when I left that job of my secular job, I walked out on faith, and the people who I work with, when I pass by them, they put their heads down, wouldn't even speak to me. Why? They thought I had lost my mind. They thought this man's gonna leave all this money, the economy's down, and so forth. And notice what happened? I was walking by faith. I wasn't walking by presumption. I wasn't walking by a feeling. I wasn't doing some religious thing because my faith had proof. It had proof. Now I had to stand there because when you've done all you can do to stand, you just stand right there because God's word will work. It will turn around anything. It's got enough power. Put it up there on the screen. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Put it up there and look what this word says. It says this, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. Watch this. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. Stop right there. But it shall accomplish. Stop right there. But it shall, not you, it shall accomplish. If you release it, it will fix anything in your environment. But you gotta believe it and you gotta speak it. Now Peter thought he was there. He's gonna tell the Lord what's happening. Jesus said, well, I'm gonna have to go to the cross. I'm gonna have to do this and that. Peter said, hey, let me tell you something, Paul. You don't need to go. You don't need to go. Jesus, I respect it, but you don't need to go. I know. I know you don't need to go. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor the things of man and not the things of God. You see, some people think they're there and they ain't there yet. And if you're not there yet and somebody older corrects you, get in line with the correction. Because you'll find that meek will inherit the earth. The meek are the ones who will take instructions. You'll find people say, what the Lord told me. And they just got saved yesterday. Here, I've been in this thing, got all this proof, and I'm gonna tell you, you're wrong. Well, if I tell you that, get in line with it, because God's trying to make it so you'll get to your wealthy place. Give the Lord a praise, that's all I got. I believe, and therefore I speak. Belief comes before the faith. I gotta believe it. Now, what do I believe? I believe what he said. I read it, and if I don't believe it yet, I better say it till I believe it. Because if I'm trying to get faith without believing it, I'm fooling myself. And that's why it's not working. People are not trying to spend any time meditating the Word of God. You get that Bible, get you one scripture, you ain't got to meditate a chapter. You don't have to meditate a whole book. Just meditate one line. Take it and meditate it. Put it on a card. Look at it 3 or 4 times, so forth. Ponder that thing. Say it a little bit in your mind, so forth and so on. Pretty soon that thing start coming forth. Pretty soon something go in here. Just like Mary, you'll start showing. And the next thing, come on, next thing, some things will start happening. You'll start seeing this thing. The next thing you happen, when you say it and believe it, it's going to change the just seeing things in your life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Does it make sense to y'all?
Yes.
Or does it make faith? Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. If you're here and God's spoken to your heart about being born again, we want to get you born again. Anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ, you don't know Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, you know him by some of them songs.